This is London calling the Falcon Islands on 15.40 and 11.82 megahertz in the 19 and 25 meter bands. Hello again, everybody. It's Kathy Piedmont here tonight in the studio in London. And once again, we have a total mountain and a peak mountain of messages to catch up with. But before that, we have a special message for you from Mr. Francis Pym. And before that, there's your own reporting and a review of what the papers are here saying. All read for you by Roger Collins. Thank you.
Thank you. The United States has announced that its efforts to find a peaceful solution to the dispute between Britain and Argentina have failed. President Reagan has announced that the United States is imposing military and economic sanctions against Argentina and has offered Britain material support. The British Foreign Secretary, Mr. Pym, is flying to the United States this weekend for discussions with the American Secretary of State and the United Nations Secretary General. In the Gulf War, Iran has launched a new offensive against Iraqi troops still occupying parts of Iranian territory. The Iraqis, for their part, say they have forced the Iranians to retreat in disarray. President Kaunda of Zambia and the South African Prime Minister, Dr. Botha, ended the meeting held on the Botswana border. They said they discussed the situation in southern Africa in their search for a peaceful solution to the area's problems. That is the world news story. Now, here are more details of the Falkland situation. The American Secretary of State, Mr. Hague, says Argentina has decided it cannot accept his latest proposals for a peaceful settlement of the Falkland crisis, and the dispute is about to enter a new and dangerous phase in which large-scale military action is likely. Mr. Hague said that in the light of Argentina's refusal to accept a compromise, the United States now had to take steps to underline that it could not and would not condone the use of unlawful force. Therefore, President Reagan had ordered the suspension of all military exports to Argentina, as well as economic sanctions which would stop money for loans and trade. The President had also directed that there should be a positive response to any request from Britain for logistical support for its forces. However, Mr. Hague stressed that there would be no direct United States military involvement. Mr. Hague said that the United States had not taken a position on the sovereignty issue and had put forward what it regarded as a fair and firm proposal for a settlement. This would have included the immediate cessation of hostility, the withdrawal of all military forces, and the termination of sanctions. It also proposed an interim authority in the Falklands to include Britain, Argentina, and the United States, a continuation of the traditional local administration but with Argentine participation, and a framework for negotiating a final settlement, taking into account the interests of both Britain and Argentina and the wishes of the Falklanders. But Argentina had said it could not accept the proposals. Mr. Hague said the Argentine position remains that it must receive an assurance of eventual sovereignty. For its part, Britain continues to affirm the need to respect the laws of the Falklands in any settlement. President Reagan has condemned Argentina as an aggressor for its seizure of the Falklands. And he told journalists at the White House that armed aggression must not be allowed to succeed. The President said he still hoped there'd be a diplomatic solution to the crisis before further military action took place. In reference to Mr. Hague's efforts to achieve a settlement, he said, "We have gone as far as we can, though." But he added that discussions were still going on at the United Nations, and he believed that neither side wanted violence. Earlier, the United States Senate passed a resolution calling on Argentina to withdraw its troops and recognizing Britain's right to self-defense under the United Nations Charter. The British Foreign Secretary, Mr. Pym, has welcomed the American announcement of support for Britain and said it represented a major change in the situation. The BBC diplomatic correspondent says that despite the collapse of the Hague peace mission, the British government has decided to persevere with the search for a negotiated solution while reserving the right to exercise a military option. Mr. Pym is to go to Washington tomorrow to discuss the next steps with Mr. Hague. He'll then arrive in New York to meet the United Nations Secretary General. Another special message from Mr. Pym will be broadcast after this roundup of news and comment. The Argentine Foreign Minister, Mr. Costa Miller, has refused to comment on the American announcement. But after a meeting with the United Nations Secretary General, Mr. Costa Mendes repeated that Argentina had not rejected the American peace plan. It was also ready to comply with the United Nations Security Council resolution on the Falklands question, but would not negotiate on the issue of sovereignty. The Prime Minister, Mrs. Thatcher, and her closest advisor met again this morning in one of the inner cabinet consultations to assess the latest developments in the Falkland crisis. The meeting follows yesterday's lengthy debate in the House of Commons, which the BBC diplomatic correspondent says went some way to restore parliamentary unity. On Tuesday, that had seemed in jeopardy, as the Labour opposition continued to press for a closer involvement of the United Nations in settling the dispute. Our correspondent says Mrs. Thatcher clearly mollified the Labour leader, Mr. Foote, by her promise that the Foreign Secretary would go to the United Nations any time he or the United Nations Secretary General thought it useful. In the debate, the former Labour Prime Minister, Mr. Callaghan, asked the government not to launch what he called a bloody assault on the Falklands. He said proceedings should take the form of an effective blockade of the island by air and sea, possibly lasting for several months. And the Labour Party spokesman on foreign affairs, Mr. Dennis Healy, said today that the United Nations should take over Mr. Hague's reaction role. Britain's air and sea blockade of the Falklands, under which any hostile ships or aircraft within 200 miles of the islands are liable to be attacked, has now come into force. Argentina has responded by announcing a military zone of its own, covering the same area and also including a 200-mile zone around South Georgia, already under the control of British troops, the South Sandwich Islands, and the Argentine coast. The Argentine military authorities say all British vessels and aircraft in the zone will be treated as hostile and dealt with accordingly. However, no incidents have yet been reported in the area. A British government spokesman said the Argentine move did not change Britain's position at all. Argentina is reported to have told the Organization of American States that it will make immediate use of what it calls the right of legitimate defense in the face of the British blockade. And after that news about the Falkland Islands situation, we look now at the treatment of the subject in today's British newspapers. The Argentine announcement of its own military exclusion zone in the South Atlantic, a few hours before the start of Britain's total blockade of the Falklands, provided the main headlines in some papers. One, the Daily Mail, called the move the final challenge. Diplomatic moves, including a growing support in Washington for Britain, were given great prominence by other papers. The Times says the Argentine has tried to keep the diplomatic door open by asking Washington for further clarification of the latest American proposals. Many of this morning's editorials on the Falklands crisis were written with the sense that Britain's total blockade of the islands was approaching rapidly. The Scotsman maintains that the completion of the blockade should not be used as an excuse to begin major hostilities against Argentina. Its editorial says other avenues in the search for a peaceful settlement still remain, and that one cannot afford to be the perpetrator of great bloodshed until they have all been explored. The Yorkshire Post concludes that there are two main stumbling blocks to a settlement. The Argentine Gunter says sovereignty is not negotiable, while to the Argentines, the British must seem to be saying almost the same thing when they insist, in effect, that the 1,800 Falklanders would have a veto over any arrangements which Buenos Aires and London might otherwise find acceptable. The Yorkshire Post says even after a war, these issues would have to be resolved by negotiation. And in the meantime, Britain does what she must. A Commonwealth Planning Star, while agreeing that the interests of the islanders must be protected, says that it is nonsense to suggest that they can have a veto on what the British government should do in the crisis. The paper says it does not make sense to talk about giving the islanders the right to self-determination. They do not constitute a community of sufficient size or economic potential to have an independent existence, and they are indeed integrated with Argentina in many areas of economic life. The Guardian says Britain would face a dilemma if a long-term blockade meant starving the Falkland Islanders themselves. An invasion would raise another dilemma, putting lives and homes in peril. The Guardian says that Falkland Islanders who've left in the past 2 weeks have mentioned wide anxiety there about evacuation. The Guardian says it has seen no coherent British proposals for this. The editorial suggests that a formal evacuation before hostilities should be proposed to Buenos Aires by Mr. Hague. And that ends our roundup of news and comment on the Falkland Islands. Now here's Kathleen.
Thank you, Major. Well, as we said in the news, the United States has come out in open support of Britain in its dispute with Argentina over the Falkland Islands. Because of this important development, the Foreign Secretary, Mr. Tim, wanted to address you all personally. So my colleague, Jerry Timmons, went along to his office to record his message and to put a few questions to him afterwards.
Good evening. It is some time now since I spoke to you on the radio. And I'm doing so now because there's just been a very important development which I want you to know out straight away. And I want to tell you personally how matters stand. Mr. Hague has told us that Argentina has rejected his proposal for a negotiated settlement. And he has just announced it in Washington. This is a major change in the situation. In deciding not to cooperate in negotiations for a peaceful settlement, the Argentines have confirmed their commitment to oppression, in defiance of the United Nations. The British people are deeply grateful to the United States, and especially to Mr. Hague, for his remarkable efforts, and I'm sure you join me in that. America and Britain have done everything possible from the start to produce a negotiated and peaceful settlement. We now have a new situation, and I'm extremely glad that the United States has come around decisively on our side. To have the world's most powerful state on our side must surely make Argentina see that aggression cannot pay. And I'm going to Washington tomorrow to review the new situation with Mr. Hague and to discuss the next steps. Then I shall go on to New York to see the Secretary General. These meetings are timely now, and will be very much in accord with the wishes of the House of Commons, which were expressed in the debates we held only yesterday. We shall not abandon our efforts for a peaceful settlement, of course not. But Argentina must withdraw as the Security Council resolution demanded 4 weeks ago. Then we shall be entirely ready to talk, as provided for in that same resolution, at a conference or any other kind of negotiation. It's been our strategy all along to build up the pressure on Argentina, economic pressure, diplomatic pressure, and military pressure. Now, with the United States backing us, we shall prevail against Argentina's totally unjustified and illegal aggression. I want to say to you that everyone in Britain is thinking of you. We are well aware of the difficult time you are having, the very worrying times you are living through, and the great anxieties you must be facing for the future. All Britain admires your courage and your determination. We all acknowledge the sacrifices you are having to make. Your interests and wishes are at the heart of all our efforts. What we are working for is to restore your rights to determine your own allegiance and your own way of life.
Listen, would you mind if I ask you a couple of questions in your death statement? Do you think that the Hague statement was our commandment? I think it's closer or further away from you.
I don't know, but it might have the effect of bringing a peaceful settlement nearer, but I'm not sure about it. The mere fact that they have now come down on Britain's side and in support of what we're trying to achieve, because they believe in all the principles that caused us to take this action in the first place, is going to be a very powerful effect, again, a very powerful effect on everyone. You see, the Argentines made the aggression. They invaded your islands, and well, making your life pretty miserable for you at the moment, and that's entirely wrong. And we've got support in the European community and in the Commonwealth and now in the United States. That is a very powerful degree of pressure. But I mustn't give you too much ground for optimism. I really mustn't, because intransigence has been shown in Buenos Aires, and I'm not at all confident that war of some kind or an escalation of military action will not come. And I have to tell you that however unpleasant it may be, that is, I'm afraid, quite probable.
There was a flicker of hope this afternoon in a Reuters news flash which said that Mr. Mendes would be prepared to enforce the UN Charter 5024.
I'm afraid I can't put too much credence or weight on that. They do change their minds a great deal. And you must remember they have been very hard on the sovereignty issue. The one thing that cannot be negotiated like that. We've always been prepared in Britain to talk about the future and the status of the island, always bearing in mind your wishes. This has always been so, as you very well know. Well, in saying what Mr. Costa Mendes did in New York, I believe that at the same time he made the point that they will have to have sovereignty. Well, that clearly is not clearly the fulfillment of the resolution.
The British government continues to take the firm line.
We take a firm line, but of course we're striving all the time to find a peaceful way, if we can find one.
Mr. Pym, thank you very much for talking.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Francis Pym. And now for the family messages. And we're starting with a few on tape. Mr. Hyde has been on the phone to us today, and he wants us to pass on this message for his son and birthday greetings to Ewan.
This is still Graham Lynn and Ewan Hyde of Fox South. Hello, son. Hope you are keeping well. Ewan had a happy birthday. We're all fit and well in the Fox in Cornwall. Hope we'll see you soon. Good luck. God bless you. Goodbye.
One of the other calls we had today was from our old friend Glenda Ford, who was very anxious to send her love to Mum and Dad and the rest of the family, but she was a little overcome by the thought of having to record a message. So instead, her mother-in-law managed to pluck up the courage to send this message for both of them.
Hello. Hello, Thomas and Ford, Thomas and Christmas, and all in the Cookham Islands. We expect to come on your 21st. We were thinking of you very much yesterday. Our hearts are open for you all. Take care, keep me up, take a breather. Be cheerful, smile, jolly and willy. Bye.
Now hear the voice that Father Dan Spagan will recognize. It belongs to Bryce Renison.
Hello, Father Dan. This is Old Mill Farm, Westwood Burn Corner. We've been a bit anxious about you over here, but seeing you on Argentinian television last week gave us some reassurance. It was good to see you again. Over here, things aren't too bad. We've got the corn sown, and the land is growing pretty well. We're about halfway through now, and the weather is being quite kind. Sonia and Zena are fine. The horse driving's taking a bit of a back seat at the moment, but the gig's laid up in the barn, and Zena has taken over the jeep. She's on her Easter holiday from school at present, and she's a great help. The cattle are looking fine, and all the heifers are sharp. Remember the two heifers I bought from Dave? They're doing great. We're busy putting two new sheds up at present, so we can store more hay. Nothing elaborate, but they should be great help next winter, especially if it turns out to be a long one like this one. Therefore, we'll sign off now and see that things work out over here, and we mightn't be too long before you're back at home again. Well, love and best wishes, Father, and this is from Joyce, Sonia, and Zena at Old Mill Farm, Westwood Bourne. Good luck.
Now a handful of letters. Mr. Arthur C. Maddox of Carson and O'Reilly are asking us to include two messages. The first is
to Auntie Jess and Uncle Stuart from your godson Jay. In my prayers and thoughts always.
Now, Karen Timberlock, we hope you're listening because there's a message here from your mother.
Hello, girls. Thanks for your messages. We're all well and pleased to hear that you are. We have written in hopes that you might be able to receive letters. Lots of people have been asking after you. Joyce and family, Iris, Paul, Grandad, Audrey, Jordan, Peter, Mary, Philip, Sheila, and many more. And they all send their love and good wishes. We heard about your change of address from that far west. And also the medical staff proposal to stay put while they for help, which we granted this month. Dear Veronica, our congratulations on the birth of our son. We hope they are making good progress. Our best wishes to all your friends, a pain hard for everyone. I've written to the whole sister, but haven't heard from her yet. In fact, we've heard nothing about Teddy or the other settlements. After all this is over, let's hope you have some home leave. The spring is beautiful, sunshine every day. The Japonica and Magnolia are in full blossom, and the trees come all to leaf. Happy birthday on the 16th. You know our thoughts are always with you. Lots and lots of love for you and your dad.
Well, that's all we've got time for tonight, but there'll be more tomorrow from the Calling the Falcons team. We're very much in our own spirits over here, so keep safe and well, and goodbye for now. You can now hear BBC World Service on 58.26 and 11.75 megahertz on the 19 and 25 meter bands. Thank you.